What do you think that cowboy in the 1880s would have done when he had ordered a cup at Starbucks and looked at the menu?
First of all, he'd have passed out, you know. I'll tell you the first time I ever bought coffee at Starbucks. I'm used to cafe coffee from home. 50 cents gets you a cup of coffee.
Oh, welcome to Starbucks.
And refills was free. Yeah, I said, I just need a cup of coffee. And he said, what size?
Oh, no, he's giving you like the tall, grande, venti.
Yeah, all them words. Howdy, my name is Kent Rawlings. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast.
Kent, before we begin this episode.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a little something to bring up to our viewers.
All right.
Because I noticed in, I think it's been a couple episodes ago. I think it was our 7 million follower episode. So before the episode, I'm getting ready and I noticed that one of my nails had popped off.
Oh, yes. Got some comments.
And I thought, oh, it's no big deal. Like nobody will notice. Oh, no. There were several comments. Oh, like, hey, Shannon, you look great. But by the way, you've got a nail missing. Yeah. So I just want to make a mention. You guys are extremely observant
yes.
on all of our things. I thought it was just more like on our cooking show. But no, you do it in.
That is good. They keep us on our toes
in
now.
Our podcast as well. So anyway, just a little shout out. Thank you all for keeping me for my fashion faux pas. And keeping me
what, faux pas?
In, yeah, keeping me in check.
What is a faux pas?
It's a mistake. So you have to show up. See, I've got all my nails today.
I learned something.
Hey, but anyway, okay. So this episode we're talking about when we were starting this this podcast venture, why did we call it Cowboy Coffee Hour? And there's actually quite a bit bigger story behind that. It's not just something that like, hey, this sounds good. Let's go with it. It's actually a significant part of our brand and our story, right?
Yes, ma'am. You know, you put a short out not long ago with making Creek Bank coffee in Montana, and it blowed people away, you know. But it's coffee, it's been around forever, you know. And I'm going to paint a picture here in a little bit of what a morning looks like on a ranch when we get started. But how many of you viewers out there start your day off, you get up and you think, first place I'm headed? Coffee pot.
Coffee is so ingrained. And like in this episode, we're not only going to just talk about the history of cowboy coffee, how it's impacted our lives, the one video that kind of changed for us, and also what cowboy coffee culture and coffee culture in general is now. So I'm actually really excited about this episode.
And because it's something that's near and dear to my heart anyway, because I love coffee, but to... have a bunch of cowboys look forward every morning, not only to have another day that God has given us, but they head straight to that coffee pot, you know.
Before we even get into it, this is where I want to start.
All right.
How people are getting cowboy coffee wrong.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you get a lot of this, right? So like you'll get a lot of comments like, oh, I know cowboy coffee. It's you take it in a sock, right? Yeah. Or like, what are all the different wrong ways?
Well, for years and years, people would tell me, hey, I've had this cowboy coffee, and it's really got a bad rap to start because it's stout. The people think it's like pudding when you pour it in a cup; it'll break something.
Wasn't it like even in old westerns, the thing was, oh, it's stout enough to
float a horseshoe.
Yeah, yeah. Like that, it's not something that I want to have.
No, I mean I want coffee to be good. Yep. People, I'd be on a ranch somewhere, or some old timer would come up to me and say, "Yeah, we used to make that coffee," you know. And I said, "Well, it's pretty good coffee." You use a sock? I said, a what? A sock. I said, I got some on my feet today. No, we put them coffee grounds in a sock, tie it up, throw it in there. I said, who wore the sock before you put the coffee grounds in it?
And I think technically that is called hobo coffee.
In a way,
right? And that was kind of more popular in the Great Depression area, if I'm correct.
And a lot of people would put it in like a just a little mesh sack that was really fine that maybe you'd run a sieve through or something like that just to hold the grounds in there. And then people would say, oh, no, Kent, you're doing it all wrong. You got to crack an egg and put in there.
I've heard a lot of the egg method. And so what is that?
Well, when your coffee's done, you know, and you've boiled it and you crack the egg and you put it in there, egg's going to sink the bottom, take all grounds with it. I like eggs and coffee. I do. But I don't want them together in the same deal.
Right.
If you make cowboy coffee right, you don't need a filter, you don't need a sock, and your eggs can stay on the plate.
I think that's what surprises people the most is when you've made cowboy coffee or even when people are making it at home, it's not bitter and stout. And in fact, you say this a lot. The reason is when you boil coffee that hard and for about a 5-minute period, it's reducing the acid. So a lot of people who can't drink coffee because it upsets their stomach are able to drink cowboy coffee.
Yeah, you break
coffee.
Down the tannin in the bean, which gets rid of the acid. And a lot of people say, well, you done burn it. You know, you done boiled it so long, you burn it. If you watch our videos or you listen today, you're fixing to have yourself the best cup of coffee in the world.
And without getting too technical on the step-by-step recipe, because we have that on our website and we have videos on how to do it, because after this episode, I want you all to go and make yourself some cowboy coffee if you haven't. The whole premise is you start with water, you throw in the grounds, you boil it a hard rolling boil, 5 minutes, let it set for a second. The biggest trick is cold water at the end. That settles all the grounds. Yeah. You've got a great cup.
Yeah.
So do you remember when did you make your first batch of cowboy coffee?
I remember having my first taste of it with an old feller down there south of Hollis on the river named Bill Pagey. He was a raccoon, coonhound hunter. I mean, he had more old hounds, and he always wants to start about 10 o'clock at night. Then you hunt all night, you know.
So you're going to need your coffee, right?
Yeah, 10 or 11 years old, you know, and you'd get down to the river and he'd turn all them dogs loose. He's always had this old big Folgers can. You know, one of them hold a gallon of coffee. And he had a hole in it, had a little snap, and he had it on his belt, carried it.
Have coffee, will travel.
I didn't even know what it's for. You know, we'd get out there, and them dogs would strike a scent, you know, and they'd go to baying way off out there in the distance. He'd say, well, time to make some coffee. You know, he'd gather him up some little old twigs, just get him a fire started. He had him a little water. He'd pour in that coffee can, set it over on that fire when it got to boiling. He had reached in his pocket and he had a sack full of coffee. And he just dumped some in his hand, poured in there, dumped some more, poured in that can, let it boil. He'd put a green stick across top every time, keep from boiling over, what he told me. I've seen it work and I've seen it not work.
Oh, well.
You know, so a lot of people say, you know, you lay a wooden spoon over something you're boiling, it won't boil over.
Yeah.
Well, he used a green stick. Had to be green. Couldn't be a dead one, you know. And he'd boil that coffee and then he'd take that green stick and he'd stir it around there. And, he had two little old metal cups. And he'd say, here, you need to have some of this. It's going to be a long night. I don't know what brand of coffee it was. I don't know how long he'd carried it in his pocket. But that stuff, you could stay awake for 7 days drinking that. It was like jet fuel.
Oh, gosh.
You know? And he just loved it. And he didn't even let it cool off, you know. I've seen them old timers and them Brandon pins get a cup and just drink it right out of the pot boiling, you know.
Yeah.
Burn your liver, your intestines, your gallbladder, and everything else. But they'd tell me, even when it was hot, I didn't like to drink coffee when it's hot, you know, hot weather.
Sure.
And they'd say, oh, it'll keep you cooler. When you put something on the inside of you that's same temperature as the outside, you're going to be cooler.
Is that scientifically proven or is this just like the old cowboy tale?
I don't think it was true. I was thinking I was trying to burn my tongue while I was drinking coffee, but that was my first taste of boiled coffee, you know, and that's more what I'd call more just old hobo coffee without a sock. You just got a tin can, put it on a fire, you know, and we even did a video.
Well, that's interesting too. You get a lot of questions like, well, I don't have an old coffee pot like we have at the wagon. You don't need a coffee pot.
No.
You can make this in any vessel you have at home. We've done it in saucepans, the old metal coffee cans.
Yeah.
So that's not an excuse for not making your coffee.
And I grew up, I really didn't like coffee.
Yeah.
You know, but then I sort of acquired a taste for it later. And I'd drink some really good coffee, and I'd get some coffee that was boiled that they'd leave it on the fire too long and just burn it.
Yes.
You know, and it'd get really bitter. Mm-hmm. And but I've seen them old men in branding pens, they make a bunch of coffee. You don't pour it out after it gets low, they just add more grounds and water to it. By the end of the day, it was like pudding.
This is why cowboy coffee gets the bad reputation. Yeah.
But when you make it right, I guarantee you there's not a better cup of coffee than I ever had.
Well, and maybe where that is what we saw as a little gap or opportunity to share with people. And that's kind of one of the things that really kicked off maybe our brand or some of our videos, because it was 7 years ago. And this is the video that really changed things. And I looked it up. 7 years ago, 6.7 million views was your first video on how to make cowboy coffee. So why did you choose that video?
Well, I think, first of all, I wanted to show people how important it was for cowboys to have it of a morning, you know. And you had some great footage in there, you know, of what it's like to be on that ranch early, early in the morning. But I'd heard so many people say, you know, I can't drink that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not no good. And I have acid indigestion. I have heartburn. Yeah. You know, I don't drink coffee. And I'm thinking, we need to show people and prove to people that if you make coffee right, you do it this way, you can enjoy coffee the rest of your life. You know, you're not going to have acid indigestion or heartburn. It really did more than I ever thought it would, because it exploded.
It did. And I think it was a great gap where we're like, this is just a simple daily part of our lives and our day.
Yep.
And you can do this at home. And it was just a really easy how-to video. And I think that's what people really like. Yeah. And we found through YouTube, it's a great source for just looking at how-to. And we just did an episode on how to fix things. And that was great. You know, like how to tie a tie, how to make a cup of coffee. And a ton of people, and probably a lot of you listening now, that's how you initially found us.
Oh, yes.
Because I remember there was a gap in time where when people would come up to you at the airport or just see you out and like, hey, I found you from your coffee video, or you taught me how to make cowboy coffee. And so that was huge for us.
Oh, it was. And it's, I mean, I grew up where coffee shops were a big deal, you know. And I'm not talking like Starbucks or any of this. I'm talking about old cafes and diners, you know. And we'd be ready to go somewhere, whether we was going hunting with somebody or was fitting to go work cattle, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And you'd get in there. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I bet some of our older viewers have. I'd watch them old men get a cup of coffee, and they'd bring it to you, a cup on a saucer.
Yes.
And then they would pour the coffee in the saucer.
Really?
Because it would cool faster, and they'd drink it out of that saucer.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm thinking, that's just causing more dishwashing.
Yeah, but they didn't have to wash the dishes.
No, but it was, everybody looked forward to it.
Today's episode is sponsored by Vinted. I don't know if y'all are like me, but it's always during the changing of the seasons. I love to clean out my closet and get kind of a fresh start, particularly going from summer into fall. But the thing is, I don't want to just throw stuff away, because I want to almost find these items that I've previously loved a new home and find somebody else that would love these items like I once did. And that is where Vinted comes in. List your items on Vinted to sell. It's super quick and simple, but here is the most important part that I absolutely love, because there's other platforms, and you know what I'm talking about, that don't do this. There are no seller fees, and the app is completely free to download. So you are saving yourself some money here. Give your clothes a second life with Vinted. Download the Vinted app for free to start selling with no seller fees, so you keep everything you earn. Plus, for a limited time, enjoy free shipping in the US on Vinted. And while you're selling your stuff, why don't you check out what other sellers have for sale? Because you might find something that you love that's new to you. So check out Vinted. It'll save you money, and it'll refresh your wardrobe and help you give some love to somebody else. Why do you think something so simple of how to make cowboy coffee resonated with millions of people?
Well, I think it goes back to what we got on that apron, some of it. You can't get full on fancy. Mm-hmm. People want something that's easy, but also it's reliable and it's got history.
Oh.
And it is something that people want to gather around the table, share a cup of coffee, whether you're camping or whether you're out there on the porch, no matter where you're at, when you can have people sit down with you and you can share a cup of black gold that's made that way, it just brings people together and just makes you have a happier day.
It's almost like you're getting a little cup of nostalgia, yes, isn't it?
Well, I've never put that in there, but I'm going to start.
Maybe that's a new tagline for
some people want creamer. No, get some nostalgia and put in there.
Speaking of the history, there is a little bit of history that goes behind cowboy coffee. Of course, now coffee has been around for thousands of years, and it's been in America before cowboys were drinking it on the trail, of course. But what was interesting is that a lot of you may have heard of Arbuckle's coffee.
Ooh, good coffee.
And that was kind of the original trail coffee. So John and Charles Arbuckle, they created the first blend, and it was called Ariosa coffee. So prior to the trail, coffee came with green beans, and you had to roast them in a cast iron skillet before you could do the whole coffee thing. And so that was really hard for old Cookie on the trail, because you're like, I've got other things to do. I've got to load the wagon. I got to feed these cowboys. I got to stay alive on the trail. So the roasting the bean thing wasn't really that feasible.
No.
So that's when these guys, the Arbuckles, come up with, we're going to roast the beans. We're going to make the coffee. We're going to ship it. And we're going to keep it in somewhat a sustainable packaging.
Yes.
And that's when it really became popular.
Yeah. And there was something in that coffee that they always stuck in there that the cook loved.
What was that?
A peppermint stick.
Oh, yeah.
And cowboys soon found out, you know, what's Cookie got up there? That looks like a peppermint stick. Then, this is way against the law in cowboy code, they would prowl through that chuck box when he thought he might not be looking and see if they could find that peppermint stick in that coffee. When he didn't have to roast them and it come roasted, and he had an old coffee grinder, probably an old Parker, you know, and he'd grind the beans every morning. And he cooked it the same way we did. You know, so when you talk about the history of it, it started so many years ago, and people, when they'd watch that video or some of the other coffee videos that we did, they'd say, well, this is like Turkish coffee. And I'd say, boy, I don't know. You know, I never had none of it. Or this is like a French press, you know.
So what's the difference with a French press or a percolator?
Yeah.
What is?
Well, with a percolator, your grounds is all going in a strainer up at the top.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when it gets hot, the bowl comes up, it overflows in the strainer, then drips down.
Yeah.
And a French press is similar in that way to where you got the hot water and you're pressing the water through the grounds.
In French press, you're not boiling it in the coffee. It's just hot and then it's seeping through. So,
there's French press. There's pour overs. You know, it's too complicated. Let's just go back to cowboy coffee.
Coffee on the trail, it really was a staple. It wasn't just a movie thing, right?
No. And it wasn't just at breakfast. Coffee pot, like I always told people, they'd ask, I'd say, first thing on the fire, coffee pot. Last thing on fire every day, coffee pot. You keep it going. A lot of times on ranch, we'll have two of them big old pots, you know, and we would keep coffee going all the time. But I want to take them back, paint a picture of a morning. A lot of times in the morning, start at 2:00, get out of that old bedroll, slip your boots on, and you walk to work. And the commute is pretty short, sometimes about 50 yards, you know. And I can always tell what the weather is by the first 3 or 4 steps. If that old ground is pretty soft and it ain't making a sound, you probably had a pretty good dew on the ground.
Oh.
You ain't got no flashlight. You know where you're going.
Yeah.
But if it's a little crunchy and things is a little cold, might have a little snow or a little sleet on there, you know. But I always loved them mornings that were quiet. And I'd ease over that old fire, start that old wood stove bertha up. Because I'd always draw up water night before, put it in the pot, have it ready to go. Take an eye out of that old stove, set it on straight heat.
And so you're taking a part of the top of the stove. So it's just directly on, the fire's coming up.
Yeah. And I mean, we'd stoke that old box full and you'd soon hear it, the crackling of wood burning, you know, the fire snapping. And in a minute, I could see steam coming off that old coffee pot. Cause it might be 20 degrees. Always let water warm before I ever put the coffee in there, you know, add the coffee to it. And then I get that first aroma of coffee if there ain't no breeze, sitting under that fly just waiting, and which The fly of the wagon is the big canvas tarp that we pull over the top. And when you get it made and you slide it off the side and let it cool a minute, you've put the cold water in there and all the grounds have settled to the bottom. And I get to enjoy what I call me and God's time before anybody gets there. Mm-hmm. Pour me a cup of that coffee that is smooth, that is just right, and thank God for what I get to see. And then I hear it, the unzipping of teepee doors. I got a lantern lid, and you hear spurs jingle as they come towards camp. And they say them words I love to hear. Good morning, Ken. Where's the coffee cups?
First thing they ask.
And they'll get them a cup of coffee, and they'll gather, and they'll talk about the day or what's been happening. But I learned through the years, especially with a lot of them old-timers, they'd dig through that old wooden box that I used to have that's full of coffee cups, and they might be some from any diner in the world that I'd ever been in, you know. And they'd find a cup they liked, and that was theirs. And they'd hang it a lot of times off the fly of the wagon, or they'd put it hid somewhere close to the wagon. That's the cup they wanted every day. You didn't wash that cup. You might have rinsed it, but you never washed it with soap.
So they would keep that cup the entire works.
Yeah, and a lot of them was even picky with the forks that way.
I do remember that. They would sift through our fork drawer, and they had to have their own fork.
If they
could
find a three-prong fork, it was a treasure. But to see them take that first drink of coffee in the morning, you know, and they look over there at you and they smile, and they said, good coffee, Kent. Thank you. And it was the same every time, you know.
So coffee just wasn't a way to start the morning or a drink in the morning. It was a ritual.
Yes. And I never had anybody complain, was the coffee too stout? Was the coffee too weak? You know?
Well, first of all, that is a rule on the wagon. You never complain to the cook.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's been times that I'd have noted.
Right. You know?
I mean, you see somebody pour a cup of coffee, and if they just take one drink and pour it out, you didn't do your job.
Right.
But when you come back and you get 2-3 cups of coffee, you know you did something right.
Would you say that is maybe a number one sign of a good chuck wagon cook is the best coffee or like how?
Well, that's where you're going to start first. It's a morning deal.
It's a good test, right?
Yeah. And, you know, an old man on the ranch told me one time, anybody can fry meat and boil coffee, you know. But if you can't fix coffee right, you done started out behind, you know. And it's going to get worse from there on out.
You have a great story about a particular gentleman every morning and his cup of coffee.
Oh, brother Daniel. We was down there in Paladur Canyon, and it was after
in Texas, right?
Yeah. And it was after Thanksgiving. It's cold. And set up on Sunday evening always, fixed supper that night. We'd have steak. And everybody, there's 10, 11 hands down there. Everybody had teepee, and everybody had dogs, you know, and it's tied to the teepees and everywhere else in the world. And everybody would eat supper, and I run them out of camp about 7:45, 8 o'clock, because I'm finna go to bed. Everybody had left, and I'd never met brother before. And he come back over and he said, excuse me, Kent. He said, I got one of them thermos bottles. He said, you reckon I could put some coffee in there so I wouldn't wake you up in the morning? Because I usually get up about 2, and I don't want to come over and wake you up. I said, brother, that pot has got some in it. Just leave me a cup. Because a lot of times I would keep some leftover coffee to where all it had to do was warm up and I could have a cup while the other was making.
Okay.
Well, he gets his thermos bottle and he gets over and he says, do you mind if I get here at the chuck box lid and pour that? Because that's sacred ground. No cowboy gets by there, you know. I said, you just help yourself, brother. Well, he's standing there and he said, you ain't got no sugar, do you? I know I ain't supposed to ask, but I sure do like some sugar in my coffee. I said, yeah. Well, I drug out one of them big old cream cans that's full of sugar, you know. And I seen... It ain't a spoon he's dipping it out. He's dipping it out with a half a cup. And he pours a half a cup of sugar in there and then another half a cup of sugar in there. And he goes pouring that coffee in there. And I said, hey, brother, leave me some of that coffee. Don't get it all. Well, he goes over to his teepee. And like I say, when I say when I'm at the wagon by myself, I got to have God time in the morning, just me and that fire and a cup of coffee. Well, I ain't no more than got up, lit me a lantern just so I could get things to going. And I like to sit in the dark. And I don't need to be bothered, you know.
Well, you've always said this is your favorite part of the day because you're up before anyone has had time to ruin it.
Yeah. And I hear a teepee unzip, you know. And then I hear some spurs jangling. So I just reach over and turn the lantern off.
Because you want your time?
Yeah. And I hear them spurs getting further away. Hear the teepees over, zip back down, you know. And I get my cup of coffee, and I'm sitting there drinking it. And I'm finna pour me another cup, so I turn the lantern up just a little. And when the lantern light gets to going, I hear the teepee door unzip, you know. And I'm thinking, I know what's going on. Now, this is brother, you know. So he gets about halfway over, and I turn it off again. And he walks back to his teepee. Well, this is like from 2 till 2:30 in the morning. About 3:15, this went on about 40 different times. I finally just cranked that lantern wide open, you know. And here old brother comes in there, and he said, you having lantern trouble? And I said, not bad. He said, I can fix that for you where it'll stay lit. And I said, no, brother, we're all right. But he'd drink coffee at noon. He'd drink coffee at night. You know, me in the wintertime, I could drink coffee in the morning, maybe some coffee at lunch, but I never did drink it at nighttime, you know, unless I was going to make a hot toddy with it.
Well, here's the funny thing. So we aren't living like the 1800s and cowboys anymore. A lot of people are not cowboys at home. So it's not like we're not getting up and over the campfire and boiling coffee, but coffee is still so culturally important to us now and how it's evolved. So I've got some statistics here, which kind of blows my mind. 2/3 of American adults drink coffee every day, making it more popular than tea, juice, bottled water.
Yeah.
That's over 220 million people consuming an estimated, get this, 500 million cups a day. And the average person is drinking like 3 cups a day. That's a lot of coffee, guys.
If we could get all them people that's drinking coffee to watch the Cowboy Coffee video or tune into the podcast, it'd be a good deal.
So
get a cup.
Coffee is a culture, right? Yeah. But what's interesting is, okay, and you'd mentioned this a little bit. So we don't just have boiled coffee anymore.
No.
We have drip. We have French press. We have lattes. We have pour overs. We have frappuccinos.
Whoa.
What do you think that cowboy in the 1880s would have done when he had ordered a cup at Starbucks and looked at the menu?
First of all, he'd have passed out, you know. I'll tell you the first time I ever bought coffee at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after 9/11. I'd had to go up to Canada and do some stuff, and I was coming back through there, and they'd search your boots, your socks, everything you had, dump your suitcases out, you know, and I was needing a cup of coffee because morning had started for me at 3 back over in British Columbia, and I go up there to Starbucks, and I'm used to cafe coffee from home.
Just a black coffee.
50 cents get you a cup of coffee.
Oh, welcome to Starbucks.
And refills was free, mm-hmm. you know, for as long as you sit in there. Well, there was this gal in front of me, and she got some coffee, and I walked up there, and I need a cup of coffee. And he said, what size?
Oh.
And I said, what size you got?
Oh, no, he's giving you like the tall, grande, venti.
Yeah, all them words. And I looked at him, you know, this is in Seattle, and I looked at him, and I said, do you just have it that comes in a coffee cup? And he said, well, here's our cups. I said, you don't have them. Because I didn't drink coffee off a styrofoam cup. Never drank no coffee like that.
Oh.
You know, it always been in a coffee cup.
Oh, my word.
And he put this little cup out there and he said, that'll be $4.
Which is cheap now.
Yeah.
Like,
and I looked at him and I said, is that like I got a lifetime supply and come back anytime I want? He said, that's $4 a cup.
Well, hey, you got a heck of a deal because I don't think you can get out of Starbucks for less than $8 a cup now.
Yeah.
But and now, hey, to be fair.
I go to Starbucks.
You do like.
Not their coffee.
Let me give you Kent's his coffee order. Not for his like regular coffee.
Yeah.
But he gets a grande caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino. Extra caramel, extra crunch.
Yeah. It's sort of like summertime. I mean, it's like a
It's a dessert at that point. It's not coffee.
Yeah. And it's good. So, cool you off.
Do you think we've improved coffee or have we just lost our minds?
Well, I don't know how many. You go to the store now and you go to the coffee aisle. Hey, 97,000 different brands of coffee, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up drinking coffee. There was two brands of coffee you had in your house. Maxwell House and Folgers.
Yeah.
And if people go back and watch that Teddy Roosevelt hash video we did, and he got to meet Mr. Maxwell. Maxwell had a slogan, and he says, good to the last drop. You know where he got it? From Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, really?
Because he said, this coffee is good to the very last drop. And that's where it started. Oh. But now you go to the store and there's coffee that's hazelnut coffee flavored with this, that, there, another.
I mean, it's good.
And then when you get in the winter and the fall, they go to throwing pumpkins, watermelon coffee, whatever you can put in it, you know? So I'm really thinking it's like cooking on a grill or a Traeger or anything else. That brings people together, brings people outside. So if people are having to drink foo-foo coffee to get together with other people, that's fine. It's doing its job, bringing people together.
Which is a great point because...
What, the foo-foo coffee?
Well, no. The drink has changed.
Yeah.
But the ritual hasn't.
No, ma'am.
So think about this. People always say, hey, come over for a cup of coffee. Let's grab some coffee.
Yeah.
You have coffee after church. There's coffee at the diner. There's coffee around the campfire. So here's my question. Why is coffee so different from other drinks? Because you don't see a friend and say like, hey, let's get together for some soda. You know, why is it coffee that we gravitate to?
I think you go back through history and you look at it. First of all, fire brought people together for light and warmth. And then there was one caveman that was smarter than the rest of them. And he said, let's quit eating this stuff raw and throw it on fire.
Okay.
And then I don't know who brought the first coffee cup out there. People have gathered together around fires and tables and had coffee and discussions. There's so much of that is lost today. People gather at a table. They may have a cup of coffee, but what have they got in their hand worse than the coffee? A phone.
Mm.
And we did a podcast about tuning out, getting back to what it's about. But I think it goes about together people together, like you said. But it's been a ritual
for
a long time.
It's almost like an invitation, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, coffee's just kind of the excuse. But really, the underlying invitation is, I want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
I want to sit. Let's visit.
Yeah. And maybe we could have a slice of pie to go with it.
Hey, that's something right there.
Because there's so many, a lot of ranches out on, a lot of them old timers. Like for dessert, maybe I made like a pie. And they'd say, Cookie, you reckon you got some more coffee? Coffee wasn't just for breakfast. Coffee was with dessert. We use coffee to cook with. We use coffee for a lot of things. Coffee grounds is good for earthworms. It's an exfoliant that you can use on your face to scrub with. It makes a great seasoning. Coffee is one of the most versatile ingredients that I think I've ever run across in my life that has so many uses and can do so much for you.
I want to introduce you to a theory that I'm guessing you haven't heard of. It's called the third place theory. Have you heard of this?
I was at a lot of rodeos one time where I thought I should have been first and I was third.
No, this is different. And I bet a lot of you at home have not heard of this too. Okay, so it's the third place theory. Your first place is home. Your second place is work. And your third place is where you informally gather with other people. So that's going to be like cafes, diners, barbershops, churches, pubs, things like that. So coffee shops have really maybe become America's most recognizable modern third place. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Now, here's my next question.
Yes, ma'am.
Were you and your kind of the cowboy ahead of your time? Was the chuck wagon actually the cowboy's third place before anybody even had a name for that?
Well, first we're going to move it up to first place.
Oh, okay. Home?
Yeah. Because the chuck wagon was home back then to so many for a certain amount of time.
So here's what's crazy, and I just realized this. The chuck wagon was first, second, and third.
Yes, ma'am.
It was your home, it was your work, and it's where you gathered.
Yeah, because old Cookie had a job way back then, and that was to feed two meals a day. And I guarantee you, every day, there was one thing on the menu that never changed, and that was coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept it going all the time. But it's always been a focal point, I think. When you look around, and me being raised rural, maybe I look at it more than you might from city dwelling places, but they go to coffee shops too.
Mm-hmm.
Always look for that spot when I'm driving through some little old town, some little old diner. if they has a lot of in-state tags that's parked there, old pickups that are beat up,
you know it's a good spot.
Yeah, you go there and get some coffee. Get over there in the corner and just sit down. I guarantee you, within 5 minutes, you're going to have new friends and new family because then people love to visit. That's what it's about. First of all, they're going to look at you like, "How'd you find this place?" You know. But it's, I think it's something we need to get back to, and that's simpler times and have that first place, second place, and third place. And they can all be in the same place. They can be your home.
It's a different century, but it's the same need. It's sustenance. But that comes from, like, at the Chuck Wagon, you got to have a place to eat. You got to survive that way. But also there's a need of survival with community and gathering, right?
Yeah, it's more than just having the cup of coffee. It's to get people gathered around you and listen. Take time to hear people, you know. Turn stuff off and let's get back to what, like, "Hey, well, I didn't know you fell and broke your leg. I seen you on them crutches. What happened to you? You know, you should have come by the house. I'd have fixed you up with some duct tape." But it's classic to me. It's something that I don't think will ever fade away because it's etched in so many people's minds and memories. If y'all look back to your childhood or even go back to where you knew some of the old timers, it was always sitting around a table or at a coffee shop or at a wagon or you was out camping and there was a coffee pot and there was coffee.
It's real interesting because the question, "Hey, let's get together and have a cup of coffee," that really isn't the question.
Yeah.
It's, "Hey, I've missed you.
Yeah.
Let's visit. Let's catch up. I want to spend time with you." I think maybe that's what coffee is actually saying.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not just a drink. And I think that's what is unique about coffee. You don't get that with water or tea or juice. That's why it's the most popular drink because it's got such a bigger message than "I'm thirsty."
Yeah. But an old man told me this one time, and then I heard my mother say it too. You know why coffee's such a welcome thing in the morning? You get two benefits from it. It warms you, but it warms your heart also so you can warm others. That's why coffee's served hot. It's going to warm you up.
Oh.
But when you get warmed up, what happens? You feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're comfortable, you want to visit. You want to open up to people, you know? So comfortable, coffee, and nostalgia.
And I think that's maybe now why people can realize why Cowboy Coffee Hour, why we gave it that name, why that's so important and why it's on brand for us, because we're not just sitting here having a cup of coffee. We want to sit down with you all. We want to spend time with you. We want to invite you into our lives. We want to hear about your lives through your comments and what's going on. And so that's why Cowboy Coffee Hour has such a bigger meaning and a bigger message that I hope that you have all been aware of and that you feel comfortable with, and that this is a place for us all to gather and visit together.
Yes. And a question I get a lot, though, is if I make coffee, I have so much, I don't know what to do with it.
Mm.
Let it cool. Pour it in a mason jar, pour it in a pitcher, put it in an icebox. Break it out the next morning. You can either reheat it over the fire, slap it in one of them electrical microwaves, you know, and you got coffee. It's never just to pour out.
The other big question we get too is, does the grind matter? And you've said that like a coarser ground grind does better in coffee.
I think it
coffee.
Makes better coffee like that. You know, I've used all kinds, but I really think you're going to get the most flavor that way.
And does brand matter?
I'm not going to push brands on nobody for coffee. If you're drinking coffee you like at home and you think it's really, really good and you got it in a percolator or you got it in a Keurig, is that what you call them things? Or French press, try it boiled and see. You might even want to change. I mean, I love a dark roast to really boil coffee. You know, I think it's even better. But experiment. Don't be afraid. And you don't have to make 5 gallons of coffee or 2 gallons. You can make it in a sauce pot. We got it broke down. It's a fourth of a cup of coffee for a quart of water. Ain't that right?
Yes. So fourth of a cup of grounds per 1 quart of water.
Yeah. You can make it. See what you think, you know?
Put some caramel in there. Put a little cream. We don't care.
As an old man once said, in my world, it'll put hair on your chest when you cook it right, you know? But if I could tell people one thing about coffee is go somewhere, whether it's in your house or it's outside, have a cup of coffee and just be thankful. Just find that peace that you need, because I do it every morning. I get me a cup of coffee and I have that moment of peace. I have that God time that I need to get the day started. And to me, it don't get no better than that. People ask me, say, well, if you could do anything in the world or you go on vacation, what would you do? I said, if I could get a cup of coffee for me and Shan and sit on the front porch with three dogs, that's a vacation. Because I'm living the good life every day. And it started where? Cowboy Coffee.
I want to leave people with just one big tip from you. And this would be the tip, like in the actual coffee making process, whether this is just a tip you have or maybe the top question you give, what is your biggest tip for making Cowboy Coffee successful?
Have good water first.
Good water?
Good water makes all the difference in the world.
So are you then suggesting maybe we don't use tap? Do we have to use like filtered bottled water?
Well, if your tap water's good, I mean, some of the best water I've had either come out of a creek or was on the Loomis Ranch up there at Circle L coming out of that windmill.
In Nebraska. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Good tip.
And then don't hurry it. Let the water warm before you ever put the coffee in there. Let it come to a good rolling boil. If you need to set a stopwatch, you go ahead. You know, I know how long it takes me to go from one side of camp to the other and back and forth and do something else. That is just right. And stir it when you put them grounds in there. It'll keep it from boiling over quite so bad. And if you ain't watching it, I guarantee you one thing, it will boil over.
Well, y'all got more than one tip. You got some bonus ones. Yes. So that was
and don't
good.
Wash the inside of that coffee pot with soap. Coffee pots have to be seasoned.
That's a big, yes.
Not with oil, making coffee and coffee and coffee.
Just hot water, rinse it out, and it's ready to go for the next time.
Yeah. And another question I'd like to tell them about, because I got this morning off YouTube. I don't know where to find one in big coffee pots. You know, I find them at antique stores, sometimes eBay, something like that, estate sales. But be careful. Sometimes folks think they got gold lining and they want too much for them. If you can get one of them great big ones like I got from $50 to $70, you're in pretty good shape.
Well, thank you, Kent, for all of your tips.
Oh, my gosh.
But we want to thank you all so much for joining us. I hope that you felt comfortable. I hope that if you had a cup of coffee with you, or maybe you had juice or water, that is fine too. But you're always welcome in our camp.
Yeah.
This is a place that we want to spend the time with each other, talk about things that matter, talk about faith, talk about community. And that's where you'll find it here at Cowboy Coffee Hour.
And remember, buy your neighbor a cup of coffee. You get a chance. Do something good in the world. But as always, and it is with great pride, honor, and privilege that I tip my hat to all our servicemen and women and all the veterans that have kept that old flag flying over camp no matter where we be. We commend you all we do and lift you up in prayer daily. Go over and get your cup of coffee. Come on. Come on back. Sit down. I got something I want to tell you. Now, to me, this is very important. You are not fans. Your family, and family takes care of each other. So lift each other up in prayer. Be safe. God bless you, each and every one, and we'll see you next week down the podcast trail.
Pioneer.